Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidi, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions, show ideas, or would like to be a guest, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com and check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon, and also my second book, which will be coming out soon, Your Walk in Life. Well, tonight I have an incredible show planned. On the line, I have Dora Sherry. A violent domestic fight with Dora's husband, March 28, 1978, ended with her going over a third-floor outdoor balcony to the sidewalk below. She crushed her hip, broke her lower back, and her right femur in two places. An angel doctor came into the emergency room that night at 4 o'clock in the morning. They had her scheduled to amputate her leg and hip the next morning. He transferred her to the hospital and fixed her injuries. He didn't think that I would ever be able to use the leg to walk again, she said, but at least cosmetically, she was intact. We never knew who called him. I spent 2 years in a wheelchair. When I was starting to walk, I left that husband, and 2 years after that, I became a black belt in Kenpo karate. In 1983, I broke my back again in a karate tournament and had to start on pain medication. Also, starting to have terrible headaches. They said it was a result of the concussion I had when I fell. She remained at that time. She remarried. She started taking a prescription pain medication for physical pain. She also discovered the man she had married was not the man she thought he was. He began to physically abuse her when other men would look at her. The emotional pain and shame caused her to start self-medicating without even realizing it. After her son died in 1990, her marriage got worse. So did her opiate addiction. She started realizing when I wrote the story for the collaborative author's book for Gloria that she never grieved her son for 30 years. She says, I just kept drowning my pain with pills. I've carried all this chronic physical pain without even realizing it was mostly emotional. Every time I would manage to get off those pills for a year or two, something else would happen. I would either get an injury or at one point had a brain freeze type headache that lasted for 14 months. She lived on 2 80-milligrams of OxyContins and 2 milligrams of dilute IV. She was admitted to the hospital 20 times in a 14-month period. Dora, welcome to Insight into Healing, and thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing with us your story.
Thank you, Alexa, for allowing me to come on and with you and share my story. It's quite amazing, some of the things that I'm seeing I've been through. It's hard to believe myself, the challenges that I've had, but I've come above them.
Yes, and I find when you hear someone else speaking it or you write it down, it really starts to hit home when you realize how much you've actually have gone through and where it all began. How is this all for you, hearing the story, reading the bayou?
It's healing. It's been very, very healing. It's amazing, Alexa, how we can go through life and not even realize we have something deep down inside that's bothering us, and we go, what is that? What do I need? What am I missing? You know, and in writing this and going back and seeing some of my patterns and some of the addictions, and yes, plural addictions that I've had, it's been very eye-opening, healing, revealing. There's a lot of it I'm not real proud of, but it certainly does explain. So I have a lot of those where you go, oh, my God, what was I thinking? I still don't know what I was thinking, but now at least I know why I did some of those things.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, your story with, you know, the different physical pain and the injuries can be related to so many other stories, how this opiate addiction begins. And I think it's so important that how it sort of just takes on a life of its own and also blindsides the person with, by the time you're in the middle of it, you're in really deep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no idea. It was like being sucked into a vortex One minute I was having these horrible headaches and my back was killing me and I couldn't walk, and the doctor gave me this magic pill, and all of a sudden I was doing everything. I wanted to clean my sidewalk with the toothbrush at night. You know, I mean, it was just wonderful. I had no idea what that was doing to me, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. It wasn't just taking the pain physically away. It was making me feel better emotionally, too. I was happier. It was a happy pill. And it doesn't stay happy very long.
No. When did you start realizing, okay, this is getting more, this is getting pretty serious, that an addiction might be forming?
When I won a bowling tournament one night, and the next day someone called to congratulate me for it, and I did not remember bowling. That was very scary, but it didn't stop me. But it was the first feeling of uh-oh. And I already had little, I knew that I was taking the pill when I wasn't having the headache. I was taking it to make me feel better, and I knew that. I was lying to myself, but I knew that. But until I had that blackout, I didn't realize exactly what I was doing. I just thought it was helping me.
Yes. And I think, you know, so many times people aren't, it's not explained to them the degree of severity that these drugs have, the addiction and the impact it could have on their functioning, on their outdoor activities, indoor activities, just on life in general, that they don't really realize how much it's taken over. And I think, you know, when someone is in constant physical pain, you can't see straight. I mean, I've had a back issue after my pregnancy briefly, and I couldn't imagine having that pain on an everyday basis for 20 years would be excruciating. So I could almost imagine how people would feel that they take this drug and they're not in pain anymore. They can finally live their life. They can, you know, just going to the grocery store is pleasurable again. Because I find so many times when people are injured, you really can't do anything. And then you get this so-called miracle pill that comes in. I mean, it's almost, people get confused. Well, why would I want to stop? But they don't realize how addictive it is until other things start falling apart around them.
Yeah. And the doctor never told me that it could be addictive. Maybe I should have asked. I didn't know. I was 24 years old. I didn't know. You know, I was a healthy, strong girl. I went through the hip injuries coming home with no pain medication. I never had any problem with that. I watched alcohol at all times because my mother was alcoholic, and I never wanted to go through that or put anyone through that. But I never dreamed that that prescription pill was going to be an addiction to me until I was already addicted.
How was it for you? Because it sounds like you were also very successful in your businesses and in your professional life, and being a black belt and being able to have almost live these double lives of having the addiction, but then also being able to have an everyday life. When did it start really impacting that?
It became a little bit of a problem a few years before my son passed away. I was taking a lot of Darvocet 100s, and I would take them and I would throw up. And then I would take them all and I would go into detox and I would get sick and I would have to go to bed for 2 or 3 days. I remember the one thing I do have, my son passed away when he was 18. And the one thing I do regret with him is that I wasted a lot of time with him laying in bed and making him worry. And after he passed away, my addiction went very, very strong. It went into heavier Oxycontins and things like that, too. It just plummeted. It just plummeted when my son died. My whole life fell apart then.
Well, I could imagine with the loss, the trauma, the abuse, and the addiction, it must have felt so just spiraling out of control. How did you start pulling yourself out of it? How did you reach out for help?
Alexa, I reached to God for help. My son was 18. He was graduating, and he was in a play at school. And it came in a few weeks before his accident, and he asked me what the story of Abraham and Isaac was in the Bible. They were doing a play at school, and my son was playing the voice of God. when Abraham was to sacrifice and drop the axe on Isaac, the voice of God said, no, I was just kidding. My son looked at me and he said, Mom, why did God change his mind in that split second? And I said, well, God needed to know that Abraham loved God more than anyone or anything on earth. The fact that he did, he allowed him to keep his son. And my son said, Mom, I'm your only son. I'm your only child, and I know you love God. What would you do if God asked you to sacrifice me? And Alexa, that is a question that, the hardest question I've ever had in my life. And I had to be honest. I said, I don't know. I said, I do believe my faith and love in God is strong enough. If he took you from me for some reason, I would find a way to work through the anger. I'd be angry. I'd be hurt, but I would find a way to work through it and keep my faith and trust in him. And when I kissed him goodbye on Saturday night, and Sunday morning they walked into my house and told me he had been killed. And that was the first thing I thought was, okay, Lord, I said it. I was honest, and I said it. Of course, I questioned if I would have said I could sacrifice him, would you have let me keep him? That was the hardest question for me. But I realized, no, God was preparing me for what was happening now. And as devastating as it was, I had that security and that safety net of having God there and knowing he had me, and there was a reason for this. And he allowed my own child to prepare me for that. So how loving is that?
And it's so powerful. And, you know, so many times in my private practice, I'm asked on a regular basis, you know, why does God allow these things to happen? Why do these such horrible, horrific things happen to me or happen to others? And we don't have the answer. And I find, and so many times I tell people, I don't think it's for us to know the answer or to have the answer. But I think it's to be able to somehow work through it. And I think those are the times, yes, people, you can be angry with God and question, but I think those are also the times to reach out to him and ask him for guidance, for support, to give you some sort of peace and comfort, which I find is so important. And I think so many times people don't understand, and you know, as myself having a strong belief and faith in God, I too would cry out to him and have my belief in God help me get through the hard times. Mm-hmm. And I find it's very reassuring. It's also very comforting to help you move forward and sometimes try to figure a way forward when there's really not a reason why these things happen.
Yeah. Well, I always say that the faith comes in not knowing why things happen, but trusting that God knows why, and that's all we need to know.
Yes.
That's where the faith comes in, you know, and that's good with me. I'm glad he's in charge. If I was, I'd really be a mess.
Yes, I don't want to make the decisions either. I like him having the control and making the decisions for me.
That's right. I took EMT training one time in my 20s, and I realized real quick, I do not want my life in anybody's hands like mine. This is not the right career for me. And I left school that day. So, yeah, I'm glad God is in charge. But, yeah, that's what helped me, I mean, get through it was that, and being strong for my son's friends, I had to show them, the children, the way to deal with it. You know, they were all destroyed. And so, you know, I said I was going to call my book Beautiful Tragedies because from a tragedy you can always find beauty. You can't always choose what happens to you sometimes, but you can always choose how you get through it and what you do with it.
And I think that's so powerful, is that there's always something beautiful to find and to find in it, to make sort of maybe some sense or have some comfort from us. What is the lesson? What is the beauty? And I think that's what helps you people to move forward and also give back to the community. That in the book that you've been writing with the collaborative authors, how was that for you? How did you get started with that?
My friend Gloria, who is the publisher of this book and an awesome, amazing woman, said to me, Dora, she said, I have a message from God for you today. She said, you are to write this story about your son, about his death, and I want you to go through the whole experience not just write your funny stories about him. She said, this book is about healing. And my dear, she said, I think it's time for you to heal. And we talked a little bit, and I said, Gloria, I don't know where to start. She said, if you had a tape recorder on us right now, you'd have your chapter. You know. So I just started writing, and Alexa, it was amazing how much poured out of me. I had no idea that I was that hurt over my son dying. I thought I was okay all these years. I'm okay. I accept it. I even appreciate it. I get to help other mothers go through the loss of children and help them find their smile again. I'm blessed, you know. But I didn't realize how much I had just stuffed that, and ignored that grieving process for myself. Being strong for everyone else, I didn't get to grieve. And that place I was so afraid to go back to, experiencing that funeral and that viewing and everything, it was so healing to go through and do that crying. I felt like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off of me. And the story just poured out. It was amazing how healing it really is.
Yes, and I find it very therapeutic, writing, journaling, also being able to allow yourself to grieve, because it's so important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it might not obviously not be something you look forward to doing, but I think it's something necessary that needs to be done, is to have that grieving, to be able to give yourself that time to go through
the
emotions and sit through it. It's very uncomfortable, but it's necessary in order to heal and also to move forward and also start finding some closure. What message would you like the readers to walk away with?
Don't be afraid of that fear. Don't fear fear itself, because the thing you're the most afraid of in this world normally isn't scary at all. And once you experience it, it's gone. Once I went back through that journey of my son's death and let myself feel that grief and pour those tears out, all of it disappeared. And I realized, like I said, the only thing I was afraid of was my own fear. And it was the most healing, most relieving, wonderful thing I could have done. So don't be afraid to feel your emotions. Grieving is the foundation that we have to build a tall building on. You know, it's not going to stand without it. And if you don't deal with that grief and process it, you're not going to move forward. You're just going to be stuck, and you're going to be sad and broken.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think with anything that someone goes through, is it, you know, a loss, trauma, abuse, any type of trauma, that if you don't work through it, you don't process it, denying it or distancing yourself and just staying away from it and not being allowed to allow yourself to go through it, it doesn't go away. It'll always come up some way, somehow, through something. That's just how the human mind and the human body are. They hold on to it. They need, it's like I always say, it's like a little child. We need to acknowledge it. We need to comfort it. We need to heal it and be able to say, it's going to be okay. I can help you. We're going to work through this. And we have to do that to ourselves, because if we don't take care of ourselves, it's hard to take care of anybody else. And I find that so, especially, you know, as mothers, that it's important that we take care of ourselves. And for anyone listening, self-care is not being selfish. It's important for us to have self-care so we can help other people, which is the most important thing, so we can inspire others through our own stories and provide them hope and saying, there's a way.
That's right. There is always a way, Alexa, if you just look for it. Sometimes you have to just look up. You have to look.
Yes. Yes.
What does the Bible say? Whatever the eye beholdeth, therefore your treasure will be. So if you want a happy life, look up. Look at the treasures, the good things
you
have in life.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not easy, and I understand it doesn't happen overnight, but I think the most important thing is, it's okay if it takes years. It's okay if it takes days. It could take a long time, but not to give up. Just keep showing up. Keep plugging away, even on those days where you can't even lift your head up and you don't feel like you can do anything. Just step outside and take a deep breath, if that's all you can do, and go back inside. But try to do some one thing one day of self-care or of showing up, of pushing yourself just a little bit, because isolating and being stuck in your own thoughts and negativity is really very detrimental to your health, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally.
Absolutely. I self-isolated so many times while I was taking all of those pain pills. So many times. And I miss so much in my life. You know, we need to enjoy every moment that we can, because one day it will be our last moment.
Yes.
That's a promise.
And I think, you know, as we say, you know, living in the present, day to day, in the moment, and being able to make that decision, and it's a decision. I firmly believe people aren't just happy. I have a feeling that it's a choice that we make, that I'm going to enjoy this day, I'm going to have a positive outlook, and it's not easy. It takes work. It takes sometimes years to be able to master that, and sometimes you're not even mastered because life, unfortunately, throws another curveball at you.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Kicks
some
you in the stomach one more time.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. So you kind of take, I thought I had this, and then you kind of get this, you know, sometimes literal, sometimes metaphorical, kick in the stomach, and you realize, wow, I'm bent down on my knees again, crying. But that's, you know, you pray, you look to God, and you say, okay,
yeah.
As my dad would always say, this too shall pass, and just
that
get up and try and keep one foot.
That. I say that all the time. This too shall pass.
This too
shall pass.
Yes, and you know that's why it was. You know, we've been going back and forth, messaging, and it's been, you know, a while. I'm so happy I have gotten you on the show because I really feel your message and your story is so inspiring, and it provides hope. And I hope those out there listening really realize not to give up, even though it seems like you're down and there's nothing more to keep, you know, hoping for. There always is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I had a lady, I help with grief support with mothers who have lost children, as I said, and I had a lady call me and say, I got it, I finally got it. I said, what? She said, you're a genius. I said, oh, please tell me how smart I am. She said, I finally realized, you're right, I'm allowed to smile again. Nobody
wow.
told her she was allowed to be happy again after her child passed away. She had already decided she had to be sad for the rest of her life. I said, how can you honor his life that way? And would he want that, you know? No, be happy. And when you can do something like that, Alexa, that's healing.
Absolutely.
I think that's amazing.
Five steps
of grief are what? They're shock, denial, anger, depression, and acceptance. Yeah, bargaining. Five stages. I found the sixth stage was the healing one for me. The first time I had to go and help a lady I barely knew go through the funeral of her child when I couldn't even walk into a florist shop in those days, I came to a place of appreciating God. I remember standing outside thinking, what am I going to say to this woman? I don't even know her. And then I thought, wait a minute, I don't have to say anything. All I have to do is hold her. I know how she feels. And I said out loud, thank you, God. Thank you for giving us your son, and thank you for giving me mine and taking him back to you. I can help someone else today. And to me, it was like that appreciation was healing.
Yes.
Acceptance, okay, I comply, I accept it, I can't change it. But when I found I could help someone else, that was healing for me.
Yes, and it's powerful. You feel like you give back, and it feels like you have an impact on somebody else, which
yeah.
I think is so important, that we all matter. We all make a difference.
That's right.
We have to find what we do, what our strengths are.
That's right. I always say, if you want to feel better, make somebody else feel good, especially somebody you love. Make a stranger smile. That's the greatest feeling in the world when they smile back. It's wonderful.
Yes.
You said about
having her say that she's able to smile again. I work with a lot of parents who lose children and people who live family members or loved ones, and they feel like they're not allowed, or they should feel guilty that they can find something joyful in life. But you deserve that. That doesn't mean you're minimizing or forgetting or dishonoring your loved one that has been lost. It's actually honoring them because they want you to find peace again and not have to punish yourself all the time.
That's right. Eat that favorite food of theirs and celebrate their life. You know, say a prayer and blow it just to heaven and eat that favorite food in their honor. But so many of us, you know, we think we're not allowed, like you said, not allowed to enjoy anything anymore. And that's not true. That's just not true. We're supposed to be here to have fun in life and to love on each other.
Yes, absolutely. So how can my listeners find your book, find all of this information, and get updates on what you're doing?
I will be posting it on my Facebook page. I don't have the exact book of collaborative authors will be out May the 2nd, and Gloria will be promoting that. excuse me. And I should have gotten this information, Alexa, before, but I don't. My solo book will be coming out May the 21st, and it'll be available on Amazon. They both will be. The collaborative author's book will be The Path of Awakening. And we're still on the working title, and Gloria has sworn me to secret on that on my solo book.
Yes, you have to keep everything out, quiet until it comes out for the big, big opening. What is up next for you?
I was about to start with celebrities, and I didn't have to go through this much security as I do with Gloria. Writing
What's
a book is not easy.
No, not at all. Definitely not at all. What's next for you? What's on your horizons?
I will be doing some speaking, and I will continue to do my grief support and helping mothers. I am planning to go back to my hometown in Ohio, and I'm going to gather up all my friends, and we're going to do a big rally against opiate abuse in town and see what we can stir up and try to stop this epidemic. I think, we think of somebody who's an opiate addict. We think of someone like homeless and dirty and laying on the streets, and that's not true, Alexa. I was a lady of society. I was on the board of children's homes. I built children's chapels on the church and everything. And at the same time, I was an addict. So I think I have a good face to represent that, look, this is everybody. This doesn't discriminate. So that's my prayer and my hope is to go back and make a difference in my hometown.
Absolutely. And it's important for everyone to know that addiction does not discriminate. It goes across all boundaries, all races, ethnicities, everything.
All ages,
I think that's the most important thing.
Ages.
All ages, and it's important to speak out about it.
I'm finding so much of that since I became public with my addiction. It's been amazing. It's just absolutely been uplifting, and everyone's just loved on me and encouraged me and cheering me on. So I think we'll see some wonderful things coming.
Absolutely. Well, Dora, we're at the end of the show, and again, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on this evening. It's been my pleasure. Just so inspiring to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Alexa. I think you're a treasure too, sweetheart, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, absolutely. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. And also, if you want to have any questions, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.
God bless. Amen.